He's turned to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 15, Matthew chapter number 15. And of course, we had been preaching through the book of 1 Samuel and have been looking through that. We're taking a little bit of a time out on that, but we'll kind of be jumping from the same idea as 1 Samuel, as we'll see in just a second. Matthew chapter number 15. And as you look there in your handout, we'll be mostly in Matthew 15, but we have two verses for us to read together in your handout. So let's all stand, and we'll read two verses together and to kind of set the tone for the passage we're going to look at, okay? So we'll be in Matthew 15. We're not going to read Matthew 15. We're going to read 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 7, which is where we would have been this morning, and then also 1 Peter 3 and verse 3 and 4. If you don't have a handout, it's also on the screen, okay? Let's read it together if we can, okay? 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 7 as we consider the heart of a mother. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Ready? Let's go. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And then 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, this same idea continues, specifically talking about mothers and wives. 1 Peter 3 and verse 3 and 4. Let's read that together, can we? Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Today we're going to talk about a mother that exemplifies this heart of a mother. She may not have been what you would have thought of from the outside, but certainly she had the heart that was necessary. Let's ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll jump right in. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can look at it and study it here this morning. I pray that you give us understanding. I pray that you give us clarity. I pray that you give us encouragement. Lord, while this message is certainly applicable for moms, it's certainly applicable for all of us. And so, Father, I pray that you would strengthen us, help us to learn from the example of this lady here in Matthew 15, and to apply what we hear here this morning. Work in a mighty way as only you can. Lord, as always, Lord, we need your spirit to work. Lord, I, in and of myself, can produce nothing of lasting consequence. But Lord, through your spirit, all things are possible. So Father, I pray that you would provide comfort. I pray that you'd provide encouragement. I pray that you'd provide challenge in all those areas as it's needed. And Lord, work in a mighty way through these things. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen. I think you may be seated. We're in Matthew chapter number 15, and we'll be looking at verse 21 through verse 28. Matthew 15, verse 21 through verse 28. And we find here a lady that from the outside probably wouldn't look like a good mom to your average person. You see, in Matthew 15, verse number 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. Now, to you today, that may not seem that significant. Tyre and Sidon, what are those? Just old-fashioned cities. A woman of Canaan, who is that? Well, just a person of no consequence. But to the Jewish mind, this was not a person that would be very well respected. Tyre and Sidon were two cities that were known for their wickedness. The Canaanites were the people that occupied Israel before Israel took it over. And Israel was supposed to push them all out of the land, but of course that didn't occur. This was a woman that from the outside didn't look like she had much of consequence. But praise the Lord, there's more to the story. Let's break this the example of this lady and the heart of this lady down into three simple parts. Number one, she had a burden heart. Number two, she had a persistent heart. And number three, she had a trusting heart. Let's look. Number one, a burdened heart. A burdened heart. She had a specific burden. First off, though, let's look at her identity. Her identity, as we looked at verse 21 and verse 22, she was from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and she was a woman of Canaan. Now, we don't know her name. We know literally, basically nothing about her apart from those simple truths. That she was from Tyre and Sidon, and that she was from Canaan. So let's break down what this means. Tyre and Sidon were known as wicked cities. Matthew 11, 21, if you have the verse there in your handout, or if you want to look over, you don't have to. Matthew 11, verse 21, Jesus says, "Woe unto you, Chorazin," a city that he was in. "Woe unto you, Bethsaida," another city that he had done a lot of ministry in. "For the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." You see what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, hey, these cities of Tyre and Sidon are so wicked, yet they would have repented. Number one, you have a wicked home. Tyre and Sidon were known for their debauchery, for their sin, for their evil, and yet you see this lady coming to Jesus. Can I remind you, folks, it doesn't matter where you came from, you can come to Jesus. Doesn't matter what your home life was, you can come to Jesus. It doesn't matter how you grew up, you can, and can I say a step further, you should still come to Jesus. This woman didn't have the trappings of a good home. She didn't have the trappings of a good growth or a good family structure. She didn't have the trappings of a good spiritual guidance, but certainly she still came to Jesus. And so can everyone. God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. And praise the Lord, we all come to Christ on our own. Number one, she had a wicked home. Number two, she had a worthless lineage. The Canaanites were known for their evil, so much so that many of the Israelites literally hated Canaan. They hated the Canaanites. They opposed them in every way. You'll see that even more as we continue on with this story. She had a worthless lineage. She didn't seem like much, but God had a purpose for her. Doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter what you've been. You can still be a good parent. You can still be a good mom. You can still be a good dad. You can still go the right way. That's what we see in this lady. Number one, her identity. Number two, she had a need. Continuing on, verse number 22. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him." Who's that him? Jesus. "Cried unto him, Jesus, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." What's this lady's issue? She has a daughter that's grievously vexed with a demon. Literally, I take those passages to mean exactly what they say. That a demonic presence was upon this woman's daughter. A demonic influence was upon this woman's daughter, and I would imagine she had tried everything that she could and yet had not had any relief. I see, number one, this was a personalized need. When something happens to your kids, it kind of happens to you, doesn't it? Right? Those of you that are parents, would you say that's true? If your kids are sick, if your kids are struggling, it's like you're sick. It's like you're struggling. Anna, a few months ago, she got sick. She randomly started throwing up in the middle of the night, threw up all over her bed, which is always fun. She's throwing up all day. Man, when Anna was sick, the whole family was sick. Right? Josh remembers. That was fun, wasn't it? It was a personalized need. This lady, look at it. What does she say? Have mercy on me. But it wasn't her that needed the help, was it? No, it was the daughter. Can I tell you, the great thing about mothers is oftentimes they take the burden upon themselves, don't they? Can I say, sometimes that's not healthy. You understand that? Sometimes, moms, you don't want to do that. Sometimes that's a dangerous thing to put too much upon yourselves. But here, you see, number one, it was a personalized need. Number two, it was a powerful need. Verse number 22, as I read, read the next two words, okay? "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is," can we say the next two words? "Grievously vexed." You know what that means? That means this isn't just a little need. This isn't just a minor problem. It's not just like, oh, well, she's kind of sick. No, no, no. It's not just like when Anna was throwing up the other day or when I had bronchitis. No, this is grievous. This is terrible. That Vex has the idea of tortured, literally. Here's what she's saying. She's saying, hey, I don't just have a need. I have a powerful need. How many of you have had powerful needs in the past? How many of you have powerful needs right now? You have something that you need God to work through. This woman had a powerful need. She had a personalized need. Number three, I see in this passage. Number three, she had a perplexing need. Verse 22, she's grievously vexed with a devil. Now, I don't know how she came up to the knowledge that it was a demonic force. Perhaps she had gone to doctors. They couldn't help. Perhaps there was something clearer. Perhaps there was, as in some passages, where demonic oppression occurred. And in these passages in the Gospels, literally the demon spoke. We don't know. But what we do know is she was perplexed. She didn't know what to do. Literally, Jesus is about 50 miles away from where he's normally ministering. By the way, 50 miles was a long ways back in Bible times. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know who to turn to. And at some point in her history, she heard about somebody from Israel named Jesus. And Jesus somehow happened to come to her place, to come to her little part of town, to come to Tyre and Sidon, a place that a Jew would never go to. And she found out and she said, hey, I need to go to Jesus. I need to find his help. Can I tell you, friends, there's no better place. There's no better person to go to with your needs than Jesus. There's no better area to go. There's no better person to take your needs to and to pour them out than to Jesus. You can go and you can talk to your spouse. You can go and talk to friends. You can go and talk to family. But there is nothing like talking to Jesus. She goes and she takes her need to the Lord, her decision. Verse 22. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She cried after him. She went to Jesus, and her decision was, I need God. I need the power of Jesus. I need something that I can't do. Can I tell you? Most moms are super moms. My wife does way more than I could ever do. It's true. First off, none of our kids have died. I guarantee you, when I watch the kids for like 2 days, it's close. It's dangerous sometimes. I joked with her the other day. She was kind of a little stressed. Moms get stressed sometimes, and Becky was a little stressed. And she was like, oh, I just don't know. The house is dirty. I said, Becky, the kids are alive. It's good. We're good. It bothers her when the house isn't all picked up and clean and all this stuff. And she was all stressed out about it. I'm like, it's good. It's good. She had a decision. This lady had a decision. I have no idea what that illustration was for. I forgot. But she had a decision, and she decided to go to Jesus. Can I tell you? There it is. In the burdens, in the struggles, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Find help. Find help with your husband. Find help with your kids. Find help in all those places. Find help wherever you need. But the greatest person that can carry your burdens is Jesus. Amen. You remember what Jesus said? Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Now, my yoke's easy, my burden is light. Jesus himself said, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. We can and we should take our burdens to Christ, and that's exactly what this lady does. Number one, she had a burdened heart. But number two, she had a persistent heart. Can I tell you, folks, sometimes when we take our burdens to the Lord, we don't get the answer we would think we'd get. You ever been there? You go and you have a need, you have a burden, you have something that you're worried about, you have something that you want God to answer, and you bring it before the Lord and you pour it out before the Lord, and yet the answer doesn't come. Look at it again, verse 22. She goes to the Lord. She goes in the right way. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Verse 23, can we read the first phrase together? But he answered her not a word. She went and she brought her petition before the Lord. She poured her heart out before God. But what did she get? Silence. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to hear is silence. Sometimes the hardest thing when you pour out your heart to the Lord to hear is nothing. Can you imagine this lady, a lady that's from a wicked area, a lady that's just happens to see Jesus? She goes and she pours out her heart before the Lord. No doubt she had traveled some way to get to Jesus. She goes and she pours out her heart to the Lord, and the Lord doesn't answer. She had a choice. She could be exhausted. She could say, oh, forget it. I give up. This is pointless. I'll go back to the life that I lived. I'll go back to everything else I was doing. Or she could continue. She could persist. She could continue to follow through, to cry after him, to beg God to do something in her family. Listen, friends, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what struggles you have. But what I do know is when God is silent, that doesn't mean he's not listening. When you don't hear God respond, that doesn't mean that he has a deaf ear. I'm reminded of the Psalms where it says, his ear is not deaf that it cannot hear. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Nice and simply, friends, go to the Lord and continue to do it. Despite the silence, continue to pour out your heart before the Lord. Number one, despite the Lord's silence. Number two, despite the spiritual, and I use that in quotes. Verse 23, she's just poured out her heart. She doesn't hear a word. Then the disciples come along. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's not a good thing. Here it ain't a good thing. Verse 23, and his disciples came and besought him, Jesus. Verse 23, besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Can you picture this? They're walking through perhaps the streets of Tyre and Sidon. It was a large port city. Maybe they're going and they're trying to gather some things. They no doubt probably went up on the ship, and this woman happens to see him and she recognizes Jesus somehow. And so she goes after him and she says, Jesus, thou son of David, Lord, have mercy on me. And she's following him, and they're going to gather some supplies because it's a long journey back to Israel. And so they're going and perhaps they're gathering some supplies, they're buying some fish, they're doing some little things. And they're walking through the market and this woman goes after them and they're crying, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy upon us. And the disciples are like, come on, woman. And everywhere they go, this woman is following them. Jesus, the son of David, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon me. I need help. My daughter has a devil. And everywhere she goes. And finally, the disciples are fed up. Say, Jesus, send this woman away. Jesus isn't responding. Jesus, get this girl out of here. What on earth? She's driving us crazy. Can I tell you, sometimes Christians are more discouraging than the unsaved people are. Sometimes the disciples are more discouraging to you, aren't they? It shouldn't be. It ought not be. This woman had every seeming external right to go and say, forget this. Even the disciples don't want me around. Jesus isn't listening. The disciples aren't paying attention. She had every right to be discouraged. She had every right to give up. Forget this. There's no point. No one cares. Nobody wants me around. But what does she do instead? Look at it in verse number 23. She crieth after us. That word means, in the language that's used, it means she cried and she kept crying and she kept crying and she kept crying. She constantly kept going and kept asking. She constantly kept seeking, even as the disciples say, Jesus, send this girl out of here. She's constantly, consistently asking, I need help. Can I tell you, friends, when you don't have the answer, when people are discouraging you, continue to dedicate yourself to the Lord, to prayer. Luke 18 and verse number 1, Jesus gives a parable, and he says this, Luke 18, 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know what that means? That means that you can faint in your prayers. Because Jesus gave a parable to prove that you shouldn't faint in your prayers. That means that something that you can be praying for and you can have a heart for and you can have a desire for God to do something, you can go and say, forget this. There's no point. I know we have people here that have family members that don't know the Lord. Don't faint in your prayers. Amen. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. I know we have people here that have family members that are far away from the Lord. Children that have turned their back on the Lord and are living in sin. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep seeking God. Various needs, burdens, our prayer list is full, literally, of people that have been praying diligently for different requests for months, even years. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord. It doesn't matter what other people are saying. If you have a need that only Christ can solve, then the only logical solution is to go to Him to find the solution. Go to the Lord. Despite His silence, despite the spiritual, despite His scope, verse 24, but He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What is He saying? He says, hey, listen, lady, I'd love to help you, but this is not what I'm sent for. I'm sent to reach out to Israel. And by the way, Jesus was sent to reach out to Israel. He went to reach Israel to bring Israel back to the Lord, but Israel rejected eventually, but not at this point. Jesus goes and Jesus says, hey, this is not my purpose. My purpose is to seek and to save the lost. My purpose is to reach Israel and to bring them back to me. Despite Jesus' scope, I love what happens in verse number 25. Then came she and, what's the next two words? Worshipped Him. Saying what? Lord, help me. Do you see what she's saying? Can I paraphrase a little bit? Jesus goes and Jesus says, hey, I'm only sent to lost sheep of Israel. What does she do? She says, no, you're not. You have a much bigger purpose than just Israel. She worships Him. By the way, you only worship what? God. All through this, she's been calling Him what? Lord. She goes and she realizes, hey, it's not just about Israel. Here I am. It doesn't matter what the purpose is. She's going to the Lord and she's not giving up. She's praying. She's seeking God. She knows she needs help. You can give up or you can grow. In this case, it causes her to grow, to have an even greater love and even greater desire for the Lord. Despite her situation, verse 26, if you first read this, you might think, well, this is kind of harsh of Jesus. We'll explain it in just a second. Verse 26, but He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. What's it talking about? That word dog has the idea of a pet dog. How many of you have pets? Yeah, how many of you have a pet dog? Good. Okay, let's get someone's pet dog name. Okay? Sierra, I know you love your dogs. What are their names?
Cooper and Kai.
Cooper and Kai. Okay. Let's use Cooper, okay? Okay, Cooper. Let's say that Sierra goes and Sierra is getting ready her food, right? And she's getting all set. And she goes and she's getting ready to eat dinner, right? And she goes and she takes her dinner and she goes and she says, okay, I got this dinner and it's all ready. And then she goes and she gives it to the dog. And she goes and she says, okay, I guess I can't eat today because I just gave it to the dog. Would that be a good idea or a bad idea, folks? Bad idea. Do you hate dogs? How dare you? No, why is it a bad idea, folks? She should care for herself. Correct? We've been looking to get a dog. We can't find one. I don't know why. We've been looking to get a dog, and we've been wanting to get one, partially because people are always over here at the church, and I'm afraid that our dog might attack you. But we've been looking to get a dog. If we get a dog, I guarantee you we'll take care of it. We'll love the dog. But I guarantee you I'm going to love my kids more than we love the dog. Am I making sense? I'm going to feed my, if it comes down to it, I'm feeding my kids and I'm not feeding the dog. Correct? You're with me here, yes? What she's saying, Jesus is saying, hey, listen, I want to help you. But we can, my purpose is not to reach to you. My purpose is to reach Israel. It's not fitting for me to go and take the things that should be for Israel and to give it to you. Despite her situation, she goes and she's persistent. I love what she says in verse number 27. Look at it. Look at it, verse number 27. Verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Catch what she's saying here. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. She's gone. She's been begging the Lord. She's been consistently seeking Him. She's been consistently saying, Lord, help me. Jesus just went and said, listen, here you are. You're from Tyre and Sidon. Here you are. You're a Canaanite. My scope is to work, reach out to Israel. It's not fitting for me to take the bread and to throw it to the dogs. What did Jesus say? What does she say? She says, yeah, that's true. But the dogs sit at the table to catch the scraps. Here's what she's saying. She's saying, Lord, I just want a little scrap. I just want a piece. She goes in this and she acknowledges how great God is, how great the Lord is, and she acknowledges her own humility. Can I say something real quick? And I don't mean to offend in this in any way. Oftentimes, we are so arrogant that we won't get the answer because we're too arrogant to seek it. Correct? Oftentimes, we won't humble ourselves. We won't put ourselves down enough to go and realize, hey, we're all just dogs in the sight of the Lord. You with me here? Not one of us deserve anything from God. You agree? I don't deserve anything from God, and neither do you. This lady could have been offended and could have said, well, how dare you? But what does she do? She realizes, hey, I don't deserve anything. I'm just begging you to work. It's the example of a king. If a peasant went to the king and asked for the king to do something, the peasant had no rights before the king. The king was the king. He had no rights, but yet the peasant would go to the king and would beg the king and petition the king, and the king had the right to cast a few crumbs to the peasant. We are all just dogs in the sight of the Lord. We don't deserve anything. We can't give the Lord anything. But yet God gives us what we need. She had a persistent heart. Can I tell you, moms, keep praying for your kids. Dads, keep praying for your kids. Keep seeking God in the areas where you can't. You're supposed to raise your children in the way that they should go. But the Bible also says, Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You know what that means? That means if I do everything I can to raise Joshua, Esther, Anna, and Abigail in the right way, if I do every possible thing, if I protect them from evil, if I guide them in the Word, if I lead them and strengthen them, and God doesn't work, are Joshua, Esther, Anna, and Abigail going to end up right? No. No. Have a persistent heart for the Lord. Seek Him. Have a burden heart for the Lord. Number three, have a trusting heart. A trusting heart. I love what Jesus says, verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, what's the next three words? Great is thy faith. Next four words, rather. Let's say it one more time. What is it? Great is thy faith. Do you know how many times Jesus says that to somebody? Twice. This is one.
He says it one more time to a centurion that says, hey, you don't even have to come under my house. I trust you. I believe you. And he says it to this lady. Her trust, number one. She trusted in God, in Christ's power. Verse 22, have mercy upon me. She knew that Jesus had the power to do what she couldn't. She trusted Christ's position. She called him Lord multiple times. She called him the Son of David. She later on worships him. She trusted Christ's purpose, that it was more than just reaching to Israel, that it was literally to reach the entire world. She worshiped him. She sought him. She knew that Christ was everything. And she trusted him. Friends, moms, dads, every person under the sound of my voice, how is your trust in the Lord? When God doesn't answer, do you still trust that he can answer? When you don't hear the response, when everything you hear is discouraging and defeating, do you still trust that God has your best purpose at heart? Her trust, she trusted the Lord. She decided to trust him. Number two, her praise. Woman, great is thy faith. It was a rare praise. Matthew 8 and verse number 10 is the only other time that Jesus said someone had great faith. By the way, he never said it about his disciples. Not one. He told them they have little faith. He told them they had no faith. He asked them, where is their faith? But not once to his disciples did he say they had great faith. But here, to this woman, from a wicked place, a woman that seemingly had no value in her lineage, he gives the rarest praise of all. Woman, great is your faith. Let's consider that idea, great is your faith. What does that mean? Let me ask you. Let's get a volunteer. Okay, I haven't done an illustration. Who wants to volunteer here? Zach, come on up, bud. I know you're excited. You always love to volunteer. I know, man, I know. Zach, do you trust me? Thank you. Okay. Let's get another volunteer. No, just kidding. Zach, you trust me, right? Yeah, you trust me. Okay. Now, Zach, here's what I want to do. Let's do something ridiculous. Let's see here. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Okay, Zach, I want you to grab my hand, okay, and I want you to lean back. Really, really lean back. Now, does Zach trust me, yes or no? Yeah. Kind of. Kind of, right? He trusts me slightly. Here, we'll go this way so everyone can see, okay? So, Zach, lean back. Ready? Okay, good. No. Now, wait, Zach, why do you keep stepping back? Don't step back. Now, let me ask you, why does Zach keep stepping back? Because he's weak. Yeah, that's why. He's weak. Yes, that's true. That's true, Dan. Thank you. Why does Zach keep stepping back? Why, folks? Because he doesn't trust me. Correct? He doesn't want to fall. Right. I don't blame him. But he doesn't. Now, Zach, keep trusting me. Good. Keep trusting me. You trust me. Okay. That didn't work. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, thanks, Zach. You can have a seat and nurse your back, okay? Now, good job, buddy. Now, let me ask you, folks. The second time, what was the difference? Now, Zach probably shouldn't have trusted me the second time. But the second time, what was the difference? What was the difference in his faith? Did he trust me the first time, yes or no? Maybe. But you would agree that trust is a yes or no thing, yes? When Zach first said, I trust you, but he kept stepping back because he was afraid, did he trust me? No, he didn't trust me. When Zach decided to trust me, even when I dropped him on the monitor there, did Zach trust me? Yes. To his detriment, but yes, he did. You see the point here? Great faith is not, there's not a bar chart for faith. Am I making sense? You trust or you don't trust. Would you agree with that? Zach either trusted me or he did not trust me. At first he did not, then he did. He shouldn't have, but he did. Okay? Now, catch this. Let me explain this. When Jesus says, great is your faith, he's not saying, oh, you have this wonderful faith that's out here that no one else can attain to. Is that what he's saying? No. That's not what he's saying. What's he saying? He's saying, hey, you have a focused faith. Here's what I mean by that. Great faith, you know what great faith is? Great faith is a focus on a great God. Great faith is realizing that God is strong enough to trust. That no matter how concerning it is, no matter how impossible it seems, I can still trust him. Does that make sense? That's why when Jesus was out on the storm and the disciples said, don't you care, Jesus, we're going to die. Jesus stood up and said, how do you have so little faith? You know why? Because they didn't trust God enough to focus on him over the storm. You with me here? And why did this woman have such great faith? Because she trusted God over everything else that happened, over everything else that was burdened upon her, over everything else that seemed to indicate that God couldn't do it or wouldn't do it. She decided to trust him more. Am I making sense here? It's a focused faith. It's a realization and understanding that, hey, God's big enough. God's got this. Friend, I don't know what on earth you're facing, and I don't have to, because can I tell you nice and simply, God's big enough and God's got it. Amen. You with me here? Oh, but preacher, you don't know what I'm facing. Then you're focusing on that over God. Is God big enough to fix your problem, yes or no? Yes. 1,000 times yes. So focus on him over the problem. You know why this woman found the victory? You know why this woman got the greatest praise that Jesus pretty much ever gives? It's because she was focused on him. And when the problems come, when she doesn't get the answer, when the seemingly spiritual people go and say, just get out of here, there's no point. When everything seemed against her, she focused on God and she trusted him. She relied on him. Nothing dissuaded her. Even Jesus himself going and saying, hey, I'm not going to you. Even Jesus literally calling her just a puppy. Nothing dissuaded her because she was focused on Christ. Can I tell you, there's a lot of things that can discourage us in this life, yes? Oh, a whole lot of things. There's a lot of things we can look at and we can be depressed and we can be discouraged. We can think we can't do it. But can I tell you, friends, when you look at the Lord and you realize how big he is, then you can have some faith. Then you can have some great faith. Great faith is not something that she mustered. It's not something that was intrinsic to her necessarily. It was something that she realized that God is big enough. That he can fix my problem. There's no problem that you can face that God can't solve. You say, well, but you don't know my kids. You don't know where they're going. Can I tell you, friends, God's big enough to help. Oh, you don't know our nation. Look at all the craziness that's going on. Who cares? We're talking about God. Amen. Oh, you don't know this problem that I've been facing. You don't know this sin struggle. You're talking about God. He saved your sin. He took it all away. Focus on him and stop focusing on the problem. You remember Peter. He stepped out of the boat. Jesus walking on the water. He said, if it's you, bid me to come. Peter gets out. He steps out of the boat. He's literally walking on water, friends. Besides Jesus, the only person to ever do it. Go ahead, try it. It don't work. He's literally walking on water, but what does he do? He sees the wind and the waves. He sees the storm. And he begins to sink. Jesus goes and he grabs him. And as he's picking up Peter out of that ocean, as he's afraid he's going to drown, what does Jesus say? How is it that you had so little faith? Why? Because he lost his focus. He lost his focus. The guy that had enough faith to step on the water, right? Jesus goes and says, how do you have so little faith? Because he lost his focus.
Don't lose your focus. Don't lose your focus. Finally, close out the story. Her answer, verse 28. A woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That very instant, she hadn't brought her daughter, no doubt because of all the difficulties of doing that, because of her situation. She hadn't brought her daughter to Jesus. She had just gone to Jesus. But yet, from that very hour, she's healed. Why? Because she was something special? Yes or no, folks?
No.
Because she was some amazing person. Because she grew up just the right way. No. She got the answer simply because she had a burden. Because she was persistent and because she trusted. Can I tell you, friends? With whatever burden you're facing, you can have the answer. By having that burden, by casting it on the Lord, by being persistent, trusting Him and continuing to go to Him, finally, by trusting, having a focused trust in the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. A few very simple questions, real quick. First question is this: do you know for sure you're a child of God? I didn't spend a lot of time talking about salvation, but salvation is a simple thing. Salvation is not being a good person. It's not trying harder. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not getting your life straightened out. Salvation is by Jesus and Him alone. Only He can save your soul. Only He can take away your sin. It's by trusting Him, by realizing He is who He said He is, and He can do what He said He can do. That is, that He is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and that He can take away your sins and save you if you choose to receive Him and trust Him. You say, preacher, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am sure, if I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. I know it. I'm sure. I'm saved. Preacher, I'm not ashamed of it. I know I'm saved. If that's you, would you raise your hand? It's the testimony of the Lord. I know I'm saved. Good. Thank you. Few people, I didn't see your hands. I don't know if I just missed them. But friend, if you don't know for sure you're a child of God, you need to get it settled. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Oh, I'll get it settled tomorrow. You don't know you have tomorrow. A good friend of mine, 41 years old, healthy, just fine, used to help me with children's ministries. I did his funeral yesterday. Working outside, randomly said, I need to sit down, and then he was in eternity. Don't say, I'll do it tomorrow. You don't know that. Get it settled. Say, preacher, I want to talk to you about it. I'd like to know. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to even ask you to come forward or anything like that. I want to catch you at the end of the service. I want to just talk to you about it. I want to help you. Say, preacher, I want to know. I want to know for sure. Heaven's my home. I want to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you, would you just pop your hand up and just catch my gaze so I can see you? Preacher, I want to know for sure. Heaven's my home. Second question, the main focus of the message is this. Do you have a burden that you need God to work in? You may have given up. There's no hope. There's no point. You haven't heard an answer, so I guess God doesn't care. God does care. This woman would not be in the pages of Scripture if she hadn't shown that she still trusts Him. Listen, friends, it doesn't matter what discouragements you might be facing. God cares, and God can still work. Say, preacher, I have a burden that I need God to work in, and I need to get serious about seeking Him. Preacher, I want you to pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand as testimony of the Lord? Good. Thank you. I will be praying for that. I will. Second question. Say, preacher, I haven't had the faith that I need to, and it's all because I'm not focused on the Lord. Sometimes I, kind of like Zach was at the beginning, I say I trust it, you trust God, but when it comes down to it, I don't know that I do. Preacher, I need to realize that God is God, and I need to trust Him. I need to trust Him. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony of the Lord? I need to trust Him. I need to get serious about trusting the Lord. Good, thank you. Many hands. Let's stand. Let's go before the Lord, can we? Dear Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands, you know the hearts, you know what's going on in each situation. Each burden that was identified by upraised hand, you know it. Lord, you care about it. Father, I pray that you would help us to realize that and to pour it out before you. Lord, in this time, in just a moment, help us to cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. Lord, for those that raised their hand and said that they need to begin to trust you more, to really realize and understand how big you are and begin to know that, hey, you are worthy of being trusted. Father, I pray that you'd help us to do that. Lord, work in a mighty way through this invitation as only your Spirit and your word can. And we'll thank you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen. With every